Hello and welcome to the Hornets and Heartbreak podcast. My name is Mark Bernacki and I'm here with my co-host Tim Rogers. What's up, Tim?
What it do, Liquor Mark?
I'm doing pretty well, man. Things have gone from extremely bleak to very exciting very quickly here. The Hornets have won five games in a row, including a couple wins against pretty good teams, the Hawks and the Mavericks. I definitely thought we were going to lose both those games. Instead, we won both of them. The Pelicans are a pretty good team as well, who we beat on Monday. If we win tonight against the Knicks, it will be the longest win streak that the Hornets have had since March of 2016. So give it up for the Hornets. We have turned it around in a big way, and we are solidly in the ninth seed right now, a little bit ahead of the Hawks, and with a chance to move into the eighth seed for the play-in tournament. It's been a great little stretch here.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, the difference 10 days can make in a season. I was ready to just pack it in, forget about things, and just move on to the offseason. But the boys are back! We're making a run. We're not just stopping in the regular season. This hype train goes all the way to the playoffs, baby.
I like it. I like the energy, Tim. It's been awesome. Specifically, the Mavs game was amazing. Luka had 37 in that game. It was unstoppable, but it didn't matter. I texted my friend. I was like, one man can't beat five. You know, Hornets were playing as a team. And we just couldn't miss. We really dominated in that game. We started off hot. Then the Mavs came back due to Luka going off. But then in the third quarter, we pulled away. And it was just a great team win. That's sort of been the trend here over the past five games. In those five games, six or more of our players have all scored in double figures in all five of the past five games. So we've been doing it as a team. Everybody's been playing well, with the exception of maybe like Kelly Oubre. And it's just been great to watch. Boys are back.
Yeah, the boys are back. You're really not going to find a better offensive game than the one against the Mavs. Mm-hmm. Only had nine turnovers as a team, shot 47% from three. Melo was a game high plus 29. Really just ran him off the court. As you said, other than that one Luka outburst, we pretty much had an answer at every turn. And it wasn't one of those games where Miles Bridges had 35 points or anything like that. Just a consistent, 20 points here or there from everyone. Not making insane shots, just getting really good looks as well. And I would say the biggest factor, a couple weeks ago we played like the blame rankings, and we had LaMelo and Miles pretty high on there, and they've just been outstanding the last five games, especially Melo. I'd have to look back through his entire career. This seems like the best five game stretch he's ever had.
Yeah, and he hasn't been like scoring an insane amount of points. It sounds cliche, but we have just been playing like good team basketball. We've been getting a lot of assists in every single game. No one player has been like dominating. Like, we haven't had a 35 point outburst by anybody in these past five games. It hasn't been a lot of ISO ball. It's just been good ball movement, not getting a lot of turnovers, as you mentioned, and the assists have been very high. So everybody's been just like playing well together. I think there's a lot of factors that go into that. Before we talk about that, let's talk about the Pelicans game too. Outscored them by nine in the fourth quarter after trailing most of the game. Melo had a clutch shot, and the Pelicans, you could see it on their faces. They were just nervous with that lead in the fourth quarter, and the Hornets took advantage. Nice home court advantage there. The crowd was getting into it. A very solid win. Feels like a game we definitely would have lost a month ago, but the team is clicking.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't go so far as say we stole the game from them, but we did have 11 fewer shots. We shot worse from three than they did. Lost the battle of the boards and the turnover battle, and shot less free throws at a worse percentage. But it did not matter. It was nice to see some strategic effort. LaMelo really going at Jackson Hayes to ice the game. Really used the two bigs that have been beating us up all game, Jackson Hayes and Valanciunas, and kind of used it to their detriment, spaced them out a little bit. Just a beautiful closing game by us. Nice when the largest lead of the game was 3 points, and we won 106-103. That's all we needed. Didn't get too fancy. And it's crazy considering that they have this great point guard, this great clutch point guard in Devontae Graham. Didn't really notice him.
That's a low blow. We just felt like the better team in that game. They were healthy this time, right? And the first time we played against them, they were not healthy. So it was a better Pelicans team. They had McCollum, who got dropped 27, but I would say it was a quiet 27, Tim. I would say it was definitely a quiet 27 from CJ in that game. And the Pelicans are a playing team just like us. So that's a solid win. You might think, oh, the Pelicans, that's like an easy win. Nope, that's a pretty solid win for us. Just like the Hawks and the Mavericks were good wins as well. So we've been beating good teams over the past three games. We got the Knicks again tonight. Like I said, longest win streak since March of 2016 if we beat the Knicks, which is depressing but also exciting at the same time. Our other longest win streak over the past like six seasons was five games earlier this year. So two of them are over the past six seasons. Are this season we've had the two 5-game win streaks already. I think we're gonna beat the Knicks and then the Jazz. It gets a little bit tougher. The Jazz, Nets, and Nuggets over the next three games after that.
Does it really though, Mark? Does it really get tougher?
Nah.
I'm not afraid of the fraudulent Jazz. I'm done with them.
Yeah, Rudy Gobert is definitely a worse player than Donovan Mitchell, and we'll attack him for sure in that game.
Great thing about Donovan Mitchell is you don't even have to attack him. He just shoots the team out of the game all on his own. Fantastic.
People who haven't been listening for a while, me and Tim have another argument about who's better or more important to the Jazz, Rudy Gobert or Donovan Mitchell. I say Donovan Mitchell, he says Rudy Gobert. But that's getting sidetracked. Austin asks, do you have a more hopeful outlook on the playoffs after the win streak and what has changed? And I'm going to dive into that what has changed part of the question first. Over the past five games, I mentioned this on the last podcast, Miles Bridges is shooting 55% on threes. That's massive for the team. If he can shoot the ball well from three, obviously 55% is not sustainable. But if he can shoot better than that 30% number he was at earlier in the season, that's going to be huge for us. It spaces the floor. It opens up the offense for the rest of the team. And that has been critical over the past five games.
Yeah, that's a big one. Let's talk about PJ Washington, the new closer of the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah.
You know, obviously had the big 13 points against the Hawks the other day, but also had a tied a career high with 7 assists against the Pelicans. I think he only took 6 shots in that game, but was really on it offensively. Even took Jackson Hayes off the dribble a couple times, which was strange to see, but definitely a relief. Yeah, PJ has been awesome, I think. Yep. Really checked in since around the Spurs game. Defensively has just been on it, and yeah, really working as a power forward. And got to give that up to Miles as well, because that just wouldn't have been possible with Miles' skill set last year. But now Miles can kind of comfortably play the three, not get taken advantage of, can still get to the hoop. Really kind of turning around and liking this new starting lineup right as Gordon Hayward's about to come back.
Yeah, it is weird. I wouldn't expect myself to like the PJ at the 4, Miles at the 3 lineup, because it seems too big, but it's just working. It's just working. It's a pretty big lineup considering Melo's also pretty tall. I mean, we have a lot of size in that lineup. Terry Rozier is the smallest player. And yeah, it's been working. And I don't know, I guess it's just like the length is confusing defensively for other teams, having three players that are like pretty big in the paint. And all four of the, you know, PJ, Miles, Terry, and Melo can all shoot. So it works. Like you said, Miles can kind of, with his new skill set, be a 3. I think he's probably better as a 4, but the fact that PJ is playing so much better as a power forward obviously like weighs that out, right? Like, we would rather have Miles at the 3 if PJ is this much better as a power forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that offset is certainly worth it. And yeah, just a lot of ball movement. I like what you said about the size, because really, if you look at our team, you know, LaMelo 6'7", Miles 6'7", PJ 6'7", you know, if you bring Kelly in there as well, it's like, and you know, that's just a lot of wingspan, a lot of length. You know, that's kind of how we closed out the Pels game. Graham wasn't even able to get off a shot. Obviously, it worked against Trae Young the other day. Just starting to use that size. And it's just, you know, Borrego was high on our blame rankings as well. And I like that he's been more aggressive with the defense, and instead of just like, okay, we're just going to give up 43s and see what happens. Limited the Pelicans to only 24 three-point attempts. And really, most importantly, we shut down Trey Murphy III.
All right, another thing over the past five games is LaMelo is at a plus-minus of plus 18.7 on average over the past five. which is incredible. He's been a winning player. And as we mentioned earlier, we're not really like one player is not doing it, but it might be LaMelo's best stretch of the season just based off of that plus minus and how he's been contributing to actual wins. His usage is down to 22% over the past five games compared to 28% on the season. So we haven't been running the offense as much through him as of late, but it's working. Like, just bring his usage a little bit down and let the other players cook a little bit more. And it's been working. I like that he's not taking quite as many shots. He's not scoring quite as many points, but he has 8.6 assists per game over the past five games. So he's dishing it out and it's been working. He's been playing great. He had the clutch shot, as you mentioned. And yeah, when he's been in, we've just been outscoring teams, dominating teams. So good job by LaMelo as of late.
Yeah, it is nice with his, you know, talked about it a little bit with Plowright last episode, just kind of the scalability and like how malleable LaMelo is. Like, you can play him as like a, you know, pseudo two if IT is in the game. You can run him at the one with Terry. Like, you can just do, you can fit a lot around LaMelo. And he's just with his shooting, which is so strange, man. Like, I'm used to it now, but like, if you would have told us before his rookie season that like, you're surprised when he goes 2 of 7 from three. You're like, man, you know, really, really like a lot of good shots. Just such a threat and can't wait to see what LaMelo can do. I mean, like, I don't think he'll ever be like a small forward. Like, I think he is a point guard, but the fact that we could play him reasonably, like as the third biggest guard, I don't know. Just, I'm getting really hype. I'm normally pretty negative, but I'm just fully buying in to this growth from LaMelo, Miles, and PJ, and love our future.
Yeah, LaMelo, we mentioned it, like if he can put on a little bit of muscle in the offseason and he can finish around the rim, if he upped his numbers around the rim from what they're at now, he would be a no-brainer all-star next season. Not, he might already be a no-brainer all-star next season, but if he can improve his finishing around the rim, it's 100%, right? He already shoots the ball well from three, 37.6% on the season from three. Which is, like you said, I mean, when we drafted him, if you had told me that, I would have been like, oh, snap. So he's an all-star, which he is. And yeah, excited for his growth. I think the third year leap is coming, but it's coming this season, Tim. It's coming a little early. The last five games, he's been balling out.
Yeah, similar to kind of what happened with Miles last season, you know, where he really showed out the last 20, 25 games. Now I'm thinking of the future because, you know, Melo is so young. Because think about, like, you know, not that he's going to be LeBron, obviously. But LeBron didn't really get, like, a post game until he was about 26, 27. Imagine if LaMelo, you know, especially going up against a lot of, like, 6'2", 6'3 point guards. What if he puts on 20 pounds of muscle in the next 2 years and gets a post game? Think about what he can do with that passing at that size. I mean, that will just be outrageous. Yeah, the sky is really the limit with him.
Yeah, or if he can dunk. We talked about that a little bit. Like, he can't really dunk right now. So if he can add that to his game where he can dunk over people, not just like on a breakaway dunk, that would be insane. He's got the size to do it, but he's been a point guard all of his life. So I feel like he just hasn't worked on it that much. If he can add like any sort of, you know, like you said, post game, something that takes a little bit more muscle slash athleticism, he's going to be a beast. The person who's been taking away the usage from LaMelo is Isaiah Thomas, who has double-digit scoring in five of his seven games. He's been awesome. He's provided a spark off the bench, and we signed him for a minimum for the rest of the season, which I think is a good move. We have a backup point guard who can actually shoot from three. He's shooting 59% on threes over the past five games. He's at a 27.5% usage rate, and he does what he needs to do. He comes in and gets buckets. Like I said, double-digit scoring in five of the seven games where he's played in.
Yeah, I would say even the most optimistic IT stan out there, this is like as good as you could have possibly imagined.
Yeah.
You know, got picked up for the rest of the season. And yeah, like the jump shot is there. It's still good. Still extremely quick. Can't finish at the basket anymore, as we've said. But yeah, it is just nice when LaMelo and Miles go out. Like, okay, yeah, this guy can get you a quick 8 points. And, you know, between him and Harrell, then, you know, by the time the starters are ready to come in, it's just an even playing field. That's all you really need from a bench.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's been awesome. So the Hornets are cooking. Big game tonight against the Knicks. I'll be there in person to see it. Probably will be packed at Spectrum Center with Knicks fans filing into the stadium and then also Hornets on a five-game win streak. So I'm excited for that. Let's get into the playoff question. Carson asks us, would you put money on us to make the playoffs? And I hate to be a buzzkill here, Tim, but no, I still probably wouldn't. The winning streak has been good, but the Hornets are still the 9 seed, which means we would have to win 2 games in a row to make the playoffs. I think that it's good that we've put some distance between us and the Hawks. I'm happy with that. At least we are in line to get like a home play-in game, which would be sick. I would love to go to that game. There's an off chance that we pass the Nets. You know, there's a chance, but I would say it's still, you know, like 25% that we pass the Nets and move up to the 8 seed. That would be huge. Then my answer to will we make the playoffs becomes a yes, because you need to win 1 out of 2 games.
Bet the mortgage.
Yeah, yeah. If we become the 8 seed, then the answer becomes a yes. If we're the 9 seed, the answer just logically has to be no, because winning 2 games in a row is unlikely. But yeah, I've seen like a lot of Hornets fans on Twitter saying, all right, here we go. We can move up to the 6 seed. That is our delusional Hornets take of the week. We're not going to become the 6 seed. That's impossible, everybody. I just want to let you know that even if we went 8-2 over the last 10 games, the Cavs would have to go 3-7 and the Raptors would have to go 4-6. So Hornets fans, we're not getting the 6 seed. Get that out of your head. At the very best, I think we're going to move up to the 8, which would be awesome. That would be amazing, because then we would only have to win 1 of 2 games. And like I said, the answer to will we make the playoffs for me would become a yes. I think it would be more likely that we do that than that we don't.
Well, you know, it's bad when Mark has belief in the Cavs and the Raptors.
Yeah. Well, just to hold on at 500. I'm not talking about them like they're good teams, because they're not. But I just think they're going to stay at 500.
I like that I feel like, you know, this would be Tim's psychology corner here. You are just taking out hatred of the fact that you root for a small market team on other small market teams.
100%. 100%. I think that any small market team does not have a chance.
Book it.
Except us. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that? Do you still think we won't make the playoffs, right? Or.
Yeah, I'm still, unless, you know, let's say we win against the Knicks tonight and the Nets lose to the Grizzlies tonight, then we will we'll be tied up with them with a game to go versus them. So that's like a big if, of course. I think if we get the 8 seed, I like our chances. But yeah, otherwise, not really loving our chances of beating the Hawks and then either the Raptors or the Nets.
Yeah, it's just mathematically, you just can't say that it's likely. I mean, obviously, there's still a chance, and it'll be exciting. It'll be fun to watch, but you can't reasonably say that that's likely. We play the Nets on, I think it's Sunday. Nets on Sunday. So that game will be huge. If we lose that game, then I think it's like, all right, we're the 9 seed, because then the Nets will have the tiebreaker on us as well as like the game lead that they have right now. So if we lose that game, then we're going to be the 9 seed or the 10 seed. And if we win that game, we have a chance. We have a chance of moving up to the 8. So that'll be a huge game to watch, and as well as all of the last 10 games are super important for playoff seeding. So it's plus 275 right now to make the playoffs, which means you could bet $100 to win $275 on us making the playoffs. It's the lowest odds of any of the play-in teams. Like I said, if we move up to the 8 seed, it's a different story. I still don't like those odds right now. I think the Nets are probably going to hold on to the 8 seed, and it's going to be a very difficult task beating those two teams, like you said.
That's fair. Just throwing this out there, off top of your head, what's the final score for the game, tonight's game against the Knicks?
116-102.
Damn, I was going to go 116-104. All right, lockstep.
All right, 116-103. You heard it here first. So, yeah, that's a little bit of Liquor Mark's degenerate gambling corner. I'm not betting on that. I'm also not betting on the no, but I'm not betting on the yes at plus 275. I'll go ahead and bet no on Toronto, though. Small market teams don't stand a chance, like we said.
Oh, so. God. Yeah, Milwaukee, get them out of here. I don't even think they're going to make the playoffs.
All right. So, the NCAA tournament, Tim, is going on right now. How much tournament action did you catch over the past few days?
I actually had a weird experience, because I'm not like I'm not a college basketball guy at all. Actually, I kind of detest it for the most part. And I didn't realize I was taking a walk on Saturday. You know, I live in like downtown Charlotte. So like it was a beautiful day, about 70 degrees. Sun is out. I walk for about an hour and a half with Caitlin. And I see four people the entire time I'm out. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Was there a rapture or something? Like, man, did we not make the cut? And then I pass a couple bars and realize that everyone in North Carolina, except for me, is watching the UNC game.
Yeah.
But no, really, I've only watched Gonzaga because I'm in love with Chet Holmgren. So
yeah, I have a similar experience to you. I've only watched it like when I'm with other people. I'm not a big college basketball guy. And when I was at the gym on Saturday during the UNC game, and like I was walking around, and there's like a crowd hovered around the TV at the gym watching the UNC game. And I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go up to the roof, enjoy the sunlight, get some reps in real quick. So yeah, not a big tournament guy, but I have been watching a little bit. It's always fun to see Kentucky lose. That was pretty sick. I did watch that game. And then watched a little bit of Davidson, watched a little bit of UNC. But my big takeaway, dude, is that we could get Chet versus Banchero in the Elite Eight. We could get Duke versus Gonzaga, which would be sick. I would definitely watch that game just to see the number one versus the number two prospect. I think pretty much everybody has them one or two. There's somebody else who, like, some people have above. I can't remember his
name. Jalen Smith.
Yeah, Jalen Smith. From what I understand about him, he's a good three-point shooter, but, like, potentially lacks other skills.
He gets to the rim, I think, 15% of the time. To put it in perspective, when Jay Crowder was in college, Jay Crowder was getting to the rim 40% of the time. Like, Jalen Smith just is only a jump shooter by all accounts.
And he, I heard some statistic, like, he has the lowest percentage around the rim of, like, if he were drafted in the top five of any college basketball player over, like, the last, like, decade. Drafted in the top five. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, if he goes top five, he'd have the lowest percentage around the rim of any player drafted in the top five. So, yeah, I'm kind of out on him. I think he only had 10 points in their loss also. So, not a great showing from him from the tournament. Of course, that's a small sample size. Like I said, I don't watch that much college basketball, but those things alone have made me kind of out on him. But you know who my favorite player in the tournament is, Tim?
Who you got?
Drew Timmy. All right. I'm sad for this dude that he doesn't get to play in the NBA, that he didn't get to, you know, come into the NBA like a decade ago when post scoring was valued. He would be like a first round pick. Now he's maybe going undrafted, and he's sick to watch in college because he's got incredible post game. But yeah, that skill is just not valued anymore. So he's going to go late second round or undrafted, and he's like the best player in the tournament.
Which, okay, this, for people that took the time to listen to some summer episodes, have a segment during the slower times called Tim's Terrible Takes. And one of my terrible takes is, if you're a guy like, you know, Timmy or like a Tim Tebow from Florida, each team should allow one former player to just come back. Because some guys just like Timmy. Timmy's just not built for the NBA.
Yeah.
But if I'm watching a 32-year-old Timmy, like, you know, 7 years from now, I'm like, I have experience with this guy. I've been rooting for him. Like, for instance, like, if Evan Turner was just allowed to come and play for Ohio State, I'm 100% watching that game.
Yeah.
Let one old head come back that washed out of the league and play for every team.
I mean, I might turn on his European highlights like every once in a while. He's going to get buckets in Europe, dude. I'm telling you, he's going to be averaging 25 a game. It's like, it's actually sad that his skill set just doesn't translate at all. And I'm going to throw it out there. Somebody take a flyer on him, dude. Why can't he be like Frank Kaminsky?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that stuff happens. Like, you know, Luke Garza got drafted. There's always, you know, the offensive bigs in the second round. Maybe he'll be a Hornet. Who knows? That could be your dream.
That's right. I want him. I want him on our team. Also, great post-game interviews. I don't know if you caught any of that, but he's a great interview. He seems like a cool dude.
Nope. I'm just looking forward to when the sad day comes where the Hornets do miss the playoffs, I fear. We'll have the 1.9% chance of getting the first pick. And that's like my favorite day of the year. I'm going to talk about, like, I let myself believe for that one day and just be totally, and I'm like, Man, LaMelo and Chet, that's going to work great next year.
Yeah, dude. Every single year when we don't get the first pick, I collapse onto the floor.
I just want to also throw it out there. I'm planting the flag, you know, obviously as someone who watched a ton of college basketball. People doubting Chet Holmgren, I just think it's kind of dumb. Like, I don't know. I just, like, people are like, oh, he's got such a low floor. A dude is 7 feet tall, can dribble, shoot, and pass, is having one of the best defensive seasons in college this century. I just think worst case scenario, know you love it when I say this, dude's just going to be a starting center for like 10 years in the NBA. Well, that's like a worst case scenario. Best case scenario, he could be top five. I love Chet Holmgren. All in.
All right. I'm more of a Timmy guy myself, but
he's your own, you know?
All right. Caitlin asks, maybe, what's your all NBA team of players that you root for that are not on the Hornets? Tim, I'll let you go first.
All right. So my five-man lineup, a lot of this will come to no surprise. Point guard, Kyle Lowry. I have no connection to Kyle Lowry. Was never a Raptors fan. Not from Philadelphia. Just love Kyle Lowry. Shooting guard, DeJounte Murray. As everyone knows, fully in the bag for DeJounte. Small forward, Harrison Barnes.
That's a wild pick. You got to explain yourself there.
A lot of these are guys that like will get slandered a lot on the internet. And I just think that Harrison Barnes, just a quality player. Like, I feel like he'd be really good on essentially any team in the league. He was terrible in the 2016 finals and people always held that against him. He also gave himself the nickname Black Falcon, which is like the lamest nickname of all time to give yourself. But really fits with Harrison Barnes.
It looks like a falcon. I can see it.
I could see it. You know, it was supposed to be this great prospect at UNC. Never really worked out. Power forward, cheating here a little bit, but Vucevic, another guy that always gets slandered. But, you know, if you're a 36-win team, like, I don't think anyone's trading for Vucevic expecting a championship. He just does what he needs to do. And number one pick of this team at center, Karl Anthony Towns. I love Karl Anthony Towns. I think he's a blast to watch. And I think he's the second best offensive big man of the league. I think he's like significantly better than Joel Embiid on offense. And I think he's just got a lot of shit. Like, I think that people really just give him a tough time. Oh, he's so soft, this, that. I see a dude that can shoot 40% from three on like eight attempts a game as a big man and maybe has the best post game in the league. I love Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good. I've never liked Kat. I don't really know why. But I'd say most of the players on your team I kind of dislike, actually. My team's a little bit more stacked than yours. I got like three all-stars in mine. So I got Ja Morant at the point guard position. Everybody knows that me and Tim disagree on who's better, Ja or Trey. And yeah, I just root for that dude. I think he's awesome. His dunks are crazy. He's a fun player to watch. Jamal Murray at the two. All right. Basically just because of what he did to the Jazz in the bubble. That's basically the only reason. I've always liked Jamal Murray. I think he gets buckets.
Who is he primarily scoring on in that series, Mark?
Come on. don't make me really bad. And then at the small forward spot, I got Giannis just because I like Giannis. I think not enough people like Giannis. So I'm kind of a Giannis stan.
I think he's definitely the best player in the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And he people like to compare him to other, you know, big men. Like, he just scores way more in the clutch than other big men like Joel Embiid. And he just gets it done. It's not pretty, but he gets the job done. When you need a bucket.
He had 50 in a closeout game to win the championship after two MVPs, defensive player of the year. And people are still just like, oh no, man, Kevin Durant's a bucket. It's like, that guy that only plays 60% of his games and doesn't play defense anywhere near as well. Like, yeah, man, you know, he just gets you buckets. So annoying.
Do you want to see Giannis out of Milwaukee?
Hell no. I want Giannis to win like three more championships and like be considered a top 10 player. I love Giannis.
Yeah, it's like on the one hand, that would improve his popularity, but on the other hand, it would make him less cool.
Oh, yeah, like if he went and like teamed up with Luka or like, you know, even if he went to Golden State. Nah, dude, he already won the one championship. So I think he would get a pass if he did decide to leave. But man, no, I want them. I hope they win the championship this year. I will take them. They're my pick at the moment. But yeah, no, I want him to stay, man. He's awesome.
Yeah. All right. Next player on the list, Josh Giddey. I love Josh Giddey, dude. He's just one of my favorite players in the NBA. I was super high on him before the draft. And he's been balling out in his rookie year. I think that he is going to be very good. He's got like passing game, not as good as LaMelo's, but it's up there, right? He's a very, very good passer. He's probably the best passer in the rookie class. And I like players that can pass, which gets me to the last player, Jokic, just his passing. I love watching players that get sick passes, and both of them do. I either pretty much like bucket getters or really good passers. Those are my two favorite style player.
Man, yeah, if you take Ja Morant off that team, you have an awesome offense.
Honorable mention, Damian Lillard, but, you know, he hasn't played all year, and he's been my favorite player in the NBA for a while, and it's kind of out with the old, in with the new. We got to bring in the new era. Jamal Murray, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, that's why my sixth man is the boy, also a rookie, Franz Wagner, who I just love.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like maybe Josh Giddey and Franz Wagner will get replaced next year with new rookies after we do our pre-draft. Those were probably the two players we were the highest on pre-draft, right? I was highest on Josh and you were highest on Franz. Both of them have been pretty good.
I'll stand by. I was high. I wanted Moody. I think I had Moody, Franz, and then Sengun. I'll have to check my thing. Still stand by Moses Moody, though. I love that man, and we'd be a better team if we drafted him.
Yeah. Yep. All right. What's your pitch here at the end for us, Tim?
All right. So we know that the HBO series Winning Time, based on Magic Johnson and the 1980s Lakers, is taking the league by storm. Very popular show, decent show, not as good as people have said. But this is my pitch for season two, because we know what happens with all that. You know, that's there's 1,000 books about it. Winning Time, except instead of Magic Johnson going to LA in 1980, we have Cody Zeller arriving to the 2014 Bobcats. In the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar role, you got Al Jefferson. In the Norm Nixon role, you have Gerald Henderson. You have Jamal Wilkes, Kemba Walker. And then, you know, Jerry West is super cranky and yelling the entire time in the show. Steve Clifford fits right in. And then, boom, we got this new rookie coming in. Who's it going to be? Frank Kaminsky in the James Worthy spot. And we just have, you know, you get the Jordan shots as well. You know, you find someone to play him. And, yeah, you just watch 8 seasons of Cody Zeller just living life. Instead of him partying in the hills, he's just hitting up Salsaritas on Quail Hollow. Like, I'm in. Just, you know, HBO, hit me up.
Yeah, we could help direct. We could help direct and produce that show. yeah, it would be interesting covering the end of that season where we get swept by LeBron James. But not quite the glorious
team.
Not quite the glorious end you want there. But, you know, it's real life. This is real life, Tim.
It's real life.
All right, I'm going to New Orleans this weekend, so this will be the last episode of this week. Going to check out what's up down there. Going to tell everybody that we just beat them twice in a row. Hit me up with any New Orleans recommendations. And shout out to all of our supporters of the podcast, both on Patreon and Winnow: Isaac Black, Aaron Barton, Dan Joseph, Xavier Harvin, TC Cunningham, Brandon Garcia, Austin Johnson, Rob McMillan, and Caitlin Ferland. Thanks to everybody who supports the show.
Yeah, thank you to everyone that took the time to listen to today's episode, and hopefully every episode, because they're all certified classics. Yeah, everyone have a great weekend. Mark, be safe in New Orleans.
I will, dude. Have a great weekend. Peace, bro.
Thank you.